a.m. Central Standard Time. We're going to go on and begin our call. We have been just blessed this week with a rich word of God. Each and every week, the Lord just brings powerful mouthpieces of the Lord who have a direct line into heaven to feed us his rhema word. So we're going to go on and have our prayer this morning by Miss Tiffany, and Kathy is scheduled to close out on prayer. So Miss Tiffany, let me go on and mute out. Wow, don't know what happened there. Okay, so that we can have you open us up in prayer. Miss Tiffany?
Pastor Vanessa, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, loud and clear.
Great. Let us go and bow before the feet of God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come this morning, Father God, and we bow down at your feet, Father. We seek your face, Father God. We seek you, Father God. We seek you first, Father God, in your kingdom, Father God, and your righteousness, Father God. And we know that everything else will be added unto us, Father. We declare and decree right now in the name of Jesus, Father God, that the heavens, Father God, will line up to declare your glory, Father God, for you are our God, Father God. And you sit high, Father God, but you look low. And we just thank you, Father God. We thank you that you woke us up into this new day. And this is the day that you have made. And your word declares that we should rejoice and be glad, Father God. So we come this morning not complaining about anything, but being grateful for everything, because if it wasn't for you and your goodness and your grace and your mercy and the loving kindness, Father God, that you give us this day, Father God, then we wouldn't even be here. We thank you that you have brought us into the land of the living, Father God. And we thank you, Father God, that there is a purpose and a plan for us this day, Father God. And I pray right now in the name of Jesus that it would be manifest here on earth as it is in heaven, Father God. I ask, Father God, that the heavens will line up, Father God, right now to declare your glory. And I pray, Father God, that what we need to do today, we will accomplish it. In the name of Jesus, Father God, I declare and I decree it right now, Father God. I declare and decree that no weapon which is formed against us shall prosper, Father God, for we are standing on your word and your promises to know that it is true and it will be done, Father God. I pray that you will continue to bless the visionaries of this call, Father God. Pastor P.K. Roberts and Pastor Vanessa, Father God, along with the Diaz de Leon family, Father God, the whole artist family, Father God, as they continue to roll out things, Father God, that will enhance your kingdom, Father God. For we are all ministers in the marketplace, Father God. And I pray right now in the name of Jesus, Father God, that you would bless Pastor Chuck as he comes this morning with part two, Father God. The setting the foundation for us to get ourselves right, Father God, to get our integrity, our character together, Father God, so that we can be who we say we are, Father God, that we will walk into who you have created us to be, Father God. We ask that your will be done, Father God, and that it would be manifest, Father God. And we declare, Father God, that you will receive all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. And we give you that right now, Father God. And we will not get sidetracked this day, Father God, but we will focus on you and your goodness, Father God. And we love you this morning, oh God, and we just thank you that you kept us through the night and brought us into this new day. And we'll forever be grateful to give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. And we love you, oh God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much, Miss Tiffany. I tell you, when women of God pray, we truly clear the heavens and prepare the atmosphere for the word of God to go forth freely. So I thank you, Miss Tiffany, for that opening prayer. We have just a few announcements before we begin to put our speaker up and give him plenty of time to finish delivering that word. We had part one yesterday, which, as usual, was off the Holy Ghost hook. And we're encouraging everyone to visit our website, where there is an archive of all of our messages and the links that you can click on and listen to the messages at your leisure, pass them on to friends and family. Our website is www.themasters.com. With an S, morningcall.org. wordpress.com. The Master's Morning Call. wordpress.com, and there you will find our email address, the Master's Morning Call at gmail.com. And we just encourage you, as we always have, to send us comments. Just let us know how the call is blessing you. We encourage you to go to the different Facebooks and websites of our speakers and just learn about them. Our speaker today truly is a blessing and is part of the family, and we love him so much, a true son of the ministry. And before he comes, we are also encouraging everyone. We had our artists live call last night, and Tom Martin and I can't forget the other gentleman's name, new to our company. They gave us so much information, and we're encouraging you to go to your website and to see the different promotions, to see where the ATC training will be taking place. There's going to be a visit coming up to Canada by our owners, and just so many neat things that are happening after extravaganza. So we don't want you to miss out on a thing. We are truly in a God-ordained, God-anointed, and God-appointed business, and we want to know what's going on so that we can be informed and inform the rest of our team. So make sure you go to your website and to your back office with Artists International and get all the information. Now, at this time, plenty of good time, we're going to get our speaker up from this for this morning. He is such a blessing to the body of Christ. As I often tell him, he truly is called for the kingdom at this time with a cutting edge word in his mouth. This is truly his season and his time. Our speaker, our no guest, he truly is a part of our family, our Master Call family, hails from New Orleans, Louisiana. He is a preacher, a pastor, a father, a husband. He's my fellow Morehouse graduate of years ago as a Spelman graduate. He is a psalmist in his own right, an author, but he truly, I call him, he's a apostolic voice, because he has a cutting-edge message. And put your spiritual safety belts on for those who've never heard him before. I present to some and introduce to others our mouthpiece for this morning, none other than Pastor Chuck Brown. Pastor Chuck, the floor is yours.
Wow, thank you so much, Pastor Vanessa. I do appreciate that gracious introduction. And as always, you and Dr. PK, I appreciate this opportunity to share on the call, which serves as one of the assignments that God has given to the both of you. I mean, it's blessing people all over the world, and we all are appreciative of the both of you for stepping out and doing what God called you to do. Thank you, Tiffany, for that wonderful prayer, setting the atmosphere to speak a word and to hear the word of God. Well, on yesterday, we talked about integrity. We've been talking on the truth of integrity, and that's what I want to finish on today. Listen, if you don't know it, the integrity of a believer is so very important. And you know why? It's because people are looking at you. They're looking at how you live. They're observing your speech. They're looking at how you respond in difficult and trying situations. They're taking note of your reactions. And what they're really looking for is to see if there is any integrity in your life. Do you live what you claim to believe? Does your attitude reflect your actions? It's who you are on the inside, the same person you are on the outside. A person of integrity can respond hands down, yes, I am the same person. And then, you know, a lot of times we struggle with duality, but if there are two yous, the public you and the private you, then you really need to work on your integrity and step your integrity game up. If you never come through on your promises, you need to step your integrity game up. And guess what, y'all? I'm talking about each and every one of us, because there's some areas in all of our lives that we need to work on. Amen. On yesterday, again, we looked at the marks of a person of integrity. What does a person of integrity look like? How do I know when I have become a man or woman of integrity? Well, today I want to conclude the marks of a person of integrity. Number five, And well, just so for review, I'd just give you these four from yesterday. What you see is what you get with a person of integrity. That's number one. Number two, a person of integrity honors commitments and keeps promises. Always. They always honor commitments and they keep promises. Number three, a person of integrity is truthful. Truthful, full of truth. Then number four, a person of integrity is consistent. Number five, this is what we want to pick up on today. A person of integrity accepts responsibility for their mistakes or failures. A person of integrity accepts responsibilities for their mistakes or failures. I do realize that today these last few points that I'm going to share with you may not endear me to any of you, but I'm very grateful that the word is going to offend us today and it's going to challenge us. It's not, you know, the word of God is not always there to make you feel good. Sometimes you have to be offended by the word in order to get better and to get into the place where God wants you to be. When Jesus, you know, he was never afraid to offend us. Love your enemy. Bless those that curse you. Pray for those that despitefully use you. You know, the word comes to challenge you. So a person of integrity accepts responsibility for their mistakes and our failures. Notice I didn't say that a person of integrity doesn't make mistakes. I said that he or she accepts responsibility for them. Now, this principle has all to do with accountability. Can I man up when it's time to do so? And there's not a person on this call right now who has not failed or made mistakes in their lives. We have all messed up. All of us have fallen and failed. Falling down is a part of the growing process. Yes, it is. It is. You learn how to stand up through falling. You learn how to walk through falling. And here's the principle, though. Although I may have messed up, if I have integrity, I acknowledge that I have messed up. Let me tell you why we've almost lost an entire generation of people. I'm talking about from the age, I guess around my age 37 to all the way back to about 22, 25. The reason why we've almost lost this whole generation of folk is because the previous generation forgot to tell us about their struggles and shortcomings. It was almost like they had lived perfect lives, and when we're facing similar struggles, we're crucified by those individuals. But I need you to understand that your sons and daughters are waiting for you to admit that you're not perfect. They're waiting on your integrity to come out and say, Dad used to be a dog, man. Listen, I did your mom wrong, going from this woman to the next. Sweetheart, your mama was wild when I was your age too. I know what you're dealing with. I know what you're going through. And then, and here's where integrity comes into play. It says, I'm not proud of who I was. I just want you to know how I overcame. And the Bible is very clear on it. We don't just overcome by the blood of the Lamb, but also by the word of their testimony. Hallelujah. And they, listen, the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. People tried to make that, they tried to change the scripture to y'all have sinned and fallen short, but that's not what it says. All of us have sinned and fallen short. So either we're sinning or we have fallen short. There's something that God wants us to work on each and every day of our lives. Let me show you another principle that declares this particular characteristic of integrity. And it may be a little different, but Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation, so it will read a little differently from the King James. So if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple, and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar. Go and be reconciled to that person, then come and offer your sacrifice to God. Who, Lord Jesus? When I have integrity and I know you have an issue with me, I don't carry on with business as usual. I stop what I'm doing. hunt you down and resolve whatever's wrong. And check this out. I take responsibility for my role in the confusion. I acknowledge I didn't have to talk to you that way. I admit that there's a better way I could have handled things, but I just want to clear the air so that we can move forward together towards success. You want to build a successful team in this business? Then if there are times when you have to tell folks, look, I'm sorry. I know that there's a better way I could have handled it. I didn't call you like I told you I was going to call you. When you have integrity, it's easy for you to just say, I was wrong, okay? And this number six goes along with what I just shared. A person of integrity doesn't blame anyone else for their problems or frustrations. Six, a person of integrity does not blame anyone else for their problems or frustrations. Over there in Genesis chapter 3, I want you to look at this. Genesis chapter 3, verses 9 through 13. It reads as follows. Then the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" The man replied, "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." "Who told you that you were naked?" the Lord God asked. "Have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat?" The man replied, "It was the woman you gave me." Watch this. "It was the woman you gave me who gave me the fruit, and I ate it." Then the Lord God asked the woman, "What have you done?" Then she replies, "The serpent deceived me." She replied, "That's why I ate it." And so there was a blame game going on. But a person of integrity doesn't blame anyone else for their problems or frustrations. Isn't it a trip how whenever we get caught up in something, we're quick to blame other people? Shifting blame, avoiding, as I said in the previous point, responsibility. A person of integrity is able and willing to take responsibility for his or her life. And here's the hard truth. You ready for this? I'm where I am in life because of the choices I've made in my life. I'm where I am in my life because of the choices I've made in my life. Whatever, Pastor Chuck. I don't believe that. Because if I hadn't married that dude, my credit would be great. My self-esteem would be high. I wouldn't be out of shape. I would be much further in life. Yeah, if I didn't have these children, I'd be traveling the world by now. I'd have more money. I'd be in better shape. You know, if I didn't have the boss I have, I'd been received that promotion. I wouldn't still be in the same position. If it wasn't for racism or sexism, I'd be further along. Stop it. You are where you are in life because of you. Who made you get married? Who forced you to have 20 kids? Who told you to keep calling into work and being chronically tardy for work? One of the first things you have to do if you want a better life is to take responsibility for why you are where you are in your life at this point in time. Listen to what happens. God told Adam, "You could eat of any tree in the entire Garden of Eden but one." Now, who did God tell this to? He told it to Adam. Adam had the luxury of being married to the first woman ever created. So you know she was, and I mean no offense to this, no offense by this, but she was fine. She had to be the bomb because she was the prototype of the beautiful woman that we see on the earth today. Her hair was the bomb, feet were nice, soft features, and she walked in a way that sent Adam over the top. Above all, come on, we all adults, clothes hadn't been invented yet, so you know Adam was in heaven. Eve was walking in the garden when a snake comes by and asks her, "Did God say you couldn't eat all this fruit?" She answers him. Now, that's the problem. Sometimes we're entertaining the devil. So if you stop entertaining the devil, you'll stop getting into so much trouble with God. Don't even entertain the devil. God said we could eat of all but one tree, because if we eat this of the fruit of this tree, we'll die. And the devil says, you won't truly die. That was a warning sign right there. What do you mean I won't truly die? Death is death. Needless to say, she falls for the devil's lie and she eats the forbidden fruit. Eve then approaches her husband with the fruit. It was bad, but it tasted good. It was bad, but it felt good. Isn't it amazing how whenever something makes us feel good, we'll always try to get someone else to do it with us? I personally don't believe that Adam just ate the fruit. I believe that Eve got him to do it in a way that only she could. She purred as she talked. She had a little more sway in her hips. But who did God tell not to eat the fruit? It was Adam, not Eve. So although she ate it first, nothing happened when she ate it. He heard God's instructions to him. Yet when the woman came to him with fruit, he disobeyed God. Just because other folks seem to be getting away with what God told you not to do does not give you the liberty to do it yourself. Only after Adam ate the fruit were their eyes open to the awareness of knowledge of good and evil. Here's where I'm going. After God confronts Adam, he didn't confront them. He confronted Adam. He confronted the head at that time. Adam then shows his lack of integrity by blaming the woman. Again, you cannot place the blame of your actions or inaction on anybody but yourself. Then the woman blames the serpent. If you notice, they were both punished because of not only their disobedience, but also their lack of integrity. Now, I know there's a trick of the enemy in these verses. Adam told the truth that they ate the fruit, but he then starts giving God all these excuses why he messed up, as if those excuses justified his disobedience. Listen, God is not interested in your excuses. He just wants your obedience. He doesn't care that you're young, because young people can live for him too. He doesn't want to hear that the reason you're sleeping around is because you're single. He doesn't care that the reason you're drunk all the time is because you're depressed. God wants your obedience. Stop blaming your mama and your daddy. You're 40 years old and you're still talking about daddy wasn't there. You made awful choices in life, and then you say we're hating on you because we don't like you. Stop it. Get some integrity and take full responsibility for your life. Hallelujah. Finally, and then let's go back to Matthew chapter 5. Back to Matthew chapter 5. And I'm quickly coming to a close with this particular verse, this particular aspect of what God has given me on today. Verse 14, it says that you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then places it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Hallelujah. Finally, number seven, this last point, a person of integrity cares about how they are perceived. A person of integrity cares about how they are perceived. Remember that with integrity, your inside matches your outside. Who you say you are matches what you do on a daily basis. I tell people oftentimes, don't care what people think, but the context of what I mean is don't allow other people's opinions to determine who you become. Just because you think I'm a failure doesn't make me one. Just because you think I'm a loser doesn't make me one. However, there's another side to this I want you to explore. You should care about how people perceive you. You know why? Because perception is reality. If everyone thinks you're a low-down person, then you need to work on changing their perception of you. I had to work hard as a young man to change the perception of people who used to know me. They used to know me. They knew me as one way. I had to work hard to change that perception. It was too vital to my ministry future, and I didn't want to be seen through the lens of my past. I'm not who I was, but I had to work on that. Now check this out. I don't care what kind of light bulb you buy. You're going to have to replace them from time to time, or you'll be sitting in the dark. You got to get this. When a light goes out, it doesn't mean the electricity is out. My God. When a light goes out, it does not mean that the electricity is turned off. In other words, I can still be connected to the energy source and not have any light coming through. A lot of Christians are connected to the power source, God, but because their light has gone out, they still don't contribute to lighting up the world. And here's where the integrity factor comes into play. I can't call myself the light of the world if there is no change when I come into the room. I can't call myself the light of the world if when I come around folk who are talking dirty with profanity and perverse conversation and they don't change because I'm around. The perception that the world has of you should be that your lifestyle, your very life, causes them to want to change theirs. And if the people around you don't want to change because of you, then you're not shining the way you should be. Here's the other thing. When you have integrity, you always shine. Get your shine on. Let's be who we say we are. Let's light up the city. Let's light up the workplace. Let's light up the hood. Let's light up the homes. Let's light up families. Let's light up the despondent and the discouraged and the hopeless. People people need us to be who we say we are. They need us to be real. They don't need us slipping and dipping. They need us to show them why we keep going to church. It has to shine on to them. Don't hide the light. New Orleans needs it. Don't hide the light. Wisconsin needs it. Don't hide the light. Georgia needs it. Don't hide the light. Texas needs the light of God. Don't hide the light. Wherever you are, we need it. Be real for God. Don't stop, you know, every day being the same person. Become someone better. Don't leave church and go back to living how you lived on yesterday. Don't hang up this phone and be the same individual. All of us should be challenged to be better. Shine on, my brother. Shine on, my sister. Shine until the darkness is repelled, because God is looking for a people that he can count on to be real for him. He's looking for folk who he can count on to stand through tests and stand through frustrations and not always falling for the same test. You know, come on, man. You say that you're in the college level spiritually, but you're still failing sixth grade tests. God is saying that's no integrity. I've already allowed you to get to this level, and you're still going through the same cycle over and over again. Don't blame anybody else. Don't shift the blame. Take responsibility. If you mess up, yes, I messed up. And the reason why I acknowledge it, because I want to help you not to mess up. I want to show you that there's a way that you can get through it. Hallelujah. I pray that this word was received with the spirit in which it was given. I pray that you were changed by this word. I pray most of all that you were challenged. This was not to make you feel good. It was not to entertain you. It was here to inspire you to be men and women. Inspire us to be men and women of integrity. We have to all step our integrity game up. We all have areas in which we have to say, Lord, forgive us, because we did not operate the way that we should have operated. I'm encouraging you like I encourage my ministry. You don't have to lie to get God to bless you. You don't have to twist the truth in order to get God to bless you. I told people, stop fattening up your resume. Stop telling people you type 70 words per minute and you can't type, you know, 10 words per minute. Don't do that. If God wants you to have the position, God can bless you. You don't have to lie to get it. You don't have to lie on your taxes to get a bigger return. Hello, somebody. You know, hey, God. You don't have to do all of these things. God will bless men and women of integrity. And yes, that sometimes we may not get it because we told the truth, but I'd rather not have a position and maintain my integrity than to have one and knowing and talking about God bless me with it when God said, no, I had nothing to do with it. That was all you. And you're going to get what you deserve on it. Hallelujah. Let's be men and women, boys and girls of integrity. I love you so very much, Dr. PK, Pastor Vanessa. Take the call back. I appreciate you. God bless you. Have a great and wonderful day.
Wow, that was a true word from the throne room of God. This morning we need to go out and have a little altar call. We've all been challenged to change and to grow in integrity, and that is such a word for each and every one of us and for the body of Christ. I love stepping our integrity game up, and that was a word from the throne room of God, and each and every one of us need to chew on that, eat on that, and look in the mirror first and grow from that word. Pastor Chuck, thank you for this two-part series, The Marks of a Person of Integrity. We need to listen to this word again and again. You encouraged our hearts. You challenged our actions, and we all will be better as we take this word in every place in this message. Some of us will say it, amen, and plenty of times I would say it, oh me. So I thank God for truth that sets us free. And at this time, Minister Kathy, if you will come and lead us in a time of prayer in our last few minutes and close us out with prayer. Minister Kathy, the floor is yours.
Pastor Vanessa, can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Oh, I so agree with you. That word was off the chain, and it is just really, really taking us to a place where it's personal examination. And I thank God for the word. It is the word that convicts us and causes us to grow in grace. Father, as we come before you now, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, God, because you love us so much that you won't leave us in a situation, but you'll send forth your word to help us where we are. And I thank you, Lord God, that it doesn't matter what position we hold, it doesn't matter where we are, your word comes to help us and it causes us to grow. And so today, God, we repent and we ask, Lord God, that you would search our hearts and cause us, oh God, to step our integrity game up. I thank you for that now in the name of Jesus, that as we examine our own hearts, oh God, that we begin to just put things in order where we've taken on more than what we need to take on, God, that you'll help us set it in order, God. I thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. I thank you, Lord God, for those that are on this prayer line today. I thank you, Lord God, that it is proven that we love you with all of our hearts, and we bless you and praise your name for being God. You are just Jehovah. Hallelujah. And we glorify you. You're El Shaddai. Hallelujah. The Almighty God. Thank you for being Jehovah Shammah. You know how to come right where we are and meet us today. And we give you praise, God. We give you glory. We thank you, Lord God, for these prayer requests that are laid out before you. Oh, God, we thank you that you are Jehovah Rapha. You are the God who heals. Hallelujah. Everyone, God, that have mentioned a prayer request, Twyla there in North Carolina, we come against the spirit of infirmity in her body, cancer, we come against you now in the name of Jesus. We know that there's nothing too hard for God, and we thank you, God, that you are the God of all flesh, and there is absolutely nothing too hard for you. Thank you, Lord God, for William there, Lord God, just recovering from surgery. We thank you, God, that you are indeed his healer, and we thank you for all the others that are on the prayer list today. We expect nothing but greatness. Hear great testimonies of what you've done. We come against the spirit of infirmity, and we declare a decree right now in the name of Jesus that you cannot operate, you cannot continue to maneuver in these lives of these individuals that we have on this prayer list. We thank you, God, for those that have said pray for a financial breakthrough. We thank you that you are Jehovah Jireh. You are the one who knows how to come in and meet every need that we have in our lives. And we thank you for that right now. We thank you, God, for everything that you are going to do for us. We thank you for the founders of this company. We ask, Lord God, that you continue to bless them, continue to open up their vision, Lord God, and give them direction for this company. Continue to help each one of us, oh God, that is on in a part of Artists International. I thank you, Lord God. It is a God-ordained business, and we will continue to see nothing but greatness as a result of you connecting us with this company. Thank you, Lord God, for everyone that is traveling. Thank you for traveling mercies. Thank you, Lord God, for this training that's gone from city to city. Continue to cause momentum to continue to build forth in this company, Lord God, and cause us to continue to grow, thereby that we might be able to continue to do kingdom work. And I thank you, Lord God, that we're stepping up our integrity game today, and we are taking it nothing but to the top, Lord God, so we can be have the spirit of excellence that you have called us to have. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. We thank you for it now. Amen. Amen. Back to you, Pastor Vanessa.
Amen. Thank you so much, Minister Kathy, for sealing this awesome word in prayer today, for interceding for our prayer requests. Again, Pastor Chuck, rich word, self-examining word, as Minister Kathy said, and we thank you for it. We need truth, and we're not afraid to embrace the truth of God each and every morning on this call. We thank you, Minister Tiffany, for clearing the heavens so that that powerful word could go forth. So again, on behalf of Dr. P.K. Roberts and myself, we thank you for being a part of this master's call today. We encourage each and every one of you to now go out and be submitted and obedient to the call of the master on your life. Be that minister in the marketplace. Have, as Dr. P.K. would say, a super fantastic day in Jesus' name. Bye-bye.